When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I wish that I could bake a cake made out of rainbows and smiles and we'd all eat, be happy.
Hi, I'm Madison Malone Kircher.
And I'm Rachel Hampton, and you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. And Madison, I've got some bad news.
What?
I went to get a haircut and I asked for a trim and I came out with half my hair gone. So that's all the bad news we can handle for today.
That is such an acute and specific pain. And I do think you should feel comforted knowing that myself and anyone listening to this who's ever had a haircut go awry, we feel for you. We feel with you.
It's real trauma because for the past, I shit you not, like 5 years, I'm like, I'm growing my hair out. It's going to be long. I'm going to have inches. And every single time I think I've made progress, I find a scissor happy stylist who's like, hey, you look really cute with short hair. I'm just going to give it to you without any fucking input from you. So now I've been set back, I think at least like a year or two. And yeah, I immediately bought a wig and made a braid appointment because I was like, I can't handle it.
My only suggestion for avoiding this in the future is I have finally found someone who cuts my hair who refuses to cut it. Once I lay down that I would like to grow my hair out, she's now like, come back in 6 months, maybe I'll trim it.
I had had a haircut from the stylist before and I loved it. It was perfect, like perfect amount taken off. So I really felt safe going in because I was like, okay, cool. One time good, second time lucky. No.
Well, Rachel, that was bad news. I can't do any more bad news today. I'm sorry. Truly, my cup is... it runneth over.
I mean, completely fair. I felt like we should start with the bad news. That was obviously the worst news that's happening in the world today. And then move on to the much better news.
What is the better news?
We've got a new game we're going to try out today.
Thank God. What is it?
Okay, so... all the time on this show, we're talking about trends that are popping up on everybody's feeds and everyone is talking about and we're laying it out for the people who haven't heard about it. But I feel like we don't talk enough about the really small, weird, niche things that only seem to plague us and nobody else. Like even your TikTok thinks I'm an ex-Mormon thing is pretty popular.
I obviously love this. as someone who lets TikTok take her just wherever the algorithmic wind may lead. Tell me more about this game. I love games.
Okay, so we're just going to share basically a piece of, I would describe as unhinged content, something that you see and you think, why does this even exist? But also I will watch at least 2 hours of this. And we're going to share it with each other. The tentative title for this segment is For Me Page, because sometimes the TikTok For You page really says For You, specifically Rachel Danae Hampton in Brooklyn, New York.
Was that you trying to vocally italicize the word you? The For You page.
For You page. Yes, yes, that's the best I can do.
Okay, Rachel, I love this. Sounds great. You have to go first.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Okay, so Madison, I want you to click this link that I'm going to send you and tell me what you see.
Okay, it's like a computer rendering of a car driving down a highway. The caption reads, cars, the giant sledgehammers. And there are like clock hands, two sledgehammers suspended in midair by nothing over the road, rotating really, really quickly. So when the car comes down the road, the sledgehammers sledge it, they hammer it. And then the car drives off the road and lights itself on fire. Also, did I mention this is like a computer game render? Like, who made this?
Great question.
Oh, it keeps going. Oh, my God. OK, Okay. Oh, no. A school bus. Oh, no. No. Not the children. Not the children. Oh, no. Where are the crash? Oh, there are crash test dummies or little bodies on this bus. Rachel. No. Oh, there's the Tesla.
There's
it
the escaped. Tesla.
Of course
I knew it was coming.
Of course it did.
Okay, so the joke on this page is that Elon Musk is running it because the Tesla never gets destroyed. Yeah.
Well, that's good. If you got hit by a giant sledgehammer with a Tesla, your automated doors probably wouldn't release and you'd be screwed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's definitely the issue at hand if there's two giant sledgehammers on the road ahead of you.
Okay. Rachel, how often do you watch these?
Okay, so the first time it came across my FYP, I was like, what? And I watched, I think, at least 10. And now I see one every single time I'm on TikTok because the algorithm knows that I want to see what happens when, you know, it's sometimes cars versus giant bulge, cars versus 100 speed bumps, cars versus trampoline. So what you're looking at is a computer game called BeamNG.Drive, which is this vehicle simulation game that was published in 2015 for Windows, which is why the graphic looks like it. Yeah. So the game has like a few modes, but what we're here to talk about is the free play mode where players can make quite literally anything they want happen. So much wild shit, like these cars getting slammed by sledgehammers or going over 100 speed bumps. The best part of this game is just in the very detailed and chaotic physics of what's happening. Like, you expect the bus to just get hit, but then you see later on, like, the exact dynamics of what is happening when the bus gets hit by a sledgehammer. You'll randomly see vehicles burst into, like, balls of fire. It's just incredible. And the account that I keep seeing is literally just called GCM_BeamNG, and it has 1.2 million followers.
Oh, so you're not alone.
I'm not alone. I'm not. This isn't even as niche as I could get.
For those of you listening at home, we will obviously tweet the video that I just terribly, but also not so terribly, described.
No, you did great. All right, so I've given you a peek at what I'm doing at midnight on TikTok. Now it's your turn.
Okay, mine. The first thing that comes to mind for me is definitely not as unhinged, but here's a link I would like you to click.
Hi there, welcome to your makeup appointment. Why are you in a rush? You have to get your makeup done fast. Why? Your date's in a minute. Well, you should have come sooner. Let's get your makeup on as fast as possible. First primer.
The first thing it reads is ASMR POV doing your makeup, but you're in a rush. And it features this woman looking straight to camera in the way that makeup YouTubers always look straight to camera. Oh my god. She's getting ready for a date. She's tapping her nails against the primer. Look at that. Oh, she's making those beautiful little ASMR sounds of primer on her. Oh my god. Wow, I feel so much calmer.
And blending.
I love this. This is incredible.
Okay, so
simply incredible.
This is my favorite ASMR artist. Her name is Slane. And what she does is something called, well, what she calls fast and aggressive ASMR, which is not exactly a combination of words I think of when I think ASMR, which, to be clear, is not a thing I have ever watched, but TikTok said, you need this, and I was like, you're right.
Yeah, the concept of aggressive ASMR feels dissonant, and yet, now that I've experienced it, I think, yes, of course this exists.
So I came across her videos maybe a month or two ago, and I now truly have watched every piece of content she has made. And my favorite thing about them is they're all so quick and fast, and my brain has been utterly broken by a life where we sit on our couches and we watch a movie on our big screen, which is the TV, to, you know, stare at our little screen, our phone in hand. My attention span is zero, and she gets that. Also, it's just so nice to tune out my brain and have her be like, close your eyes. Blink your eyelashes. Smile for me real big. You need some bronzer. And I'm like, yes, I do need some bronzer. I haven't seen the sun in weeks.
I did find myself actually wanting to close my eyes when she told me to, which is the mark of an effective ASMR artiste.
Lean into that impulse.
Well, now I'm just going to fall asleep in the middle of this taping.
That is, in fact, probably all the time we have to discuss this before either one of us fall asleep. But don't worry. The fun is going to continue. Because that's actually all we're doing on this episode. After the Supreme Court news on Friday, I don't know about you, but we both had a real bummer of a weekend. And we thought today was just a day to attempt and I do say attempt, that's me attempting to italicize with my voice again, attempt to laugh. So we're going to share with you some fun stuff. Rachel, what do we got?
We've got a lot of musical content brought to you not by Madison, but by me.
It really is the end of the world.
We've got the Olsen twins.
When we come back from a quick break, we're going to have all of those fun things Rachel just described, plus some favorite pieces of internet joy from you, our listeners. What we're saying is serotonin on demand, we provide.
After the break, we'll be back with only the hits, no bummers, instant SSRI.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we're back. Madison, you are first up because I gave you the sledgehammer content first, so I really feel like I need someone else to take over. So what's the first thing on your list?
Truly a video I return to often when I just need to laugh at absurdity. The theater of the absurd is this. It is the Olsen Twins Gimme Pizza slow-mo video.
P-I-C-C-A. Pizza! Did I happen to say, I want pizza?
It just never ends. It never ends.
It sounds like a demonic incantation to summon pizza.
So this is a slowed down version of a song called Gimme Pizza from the 1995 VHS You're Invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's Sleepover Party, which was the first installment of the Olsen Twins' straight-to-video series You're Invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's. And here's where I disclose that I mean my mother, wrote away so I could join the Mary-Kate and Ashley fan club. I was a big Mary-Kate and Ashley head. I had all of these VHSs. I wanted to be their friend so badly. And that is the beginning of this wedging itself into my brain.
I just am thinking about the phrase 1995 VHS, you're invited to Mary-Kate and Ashley's, and what a fucking time capsule that was. If you don't know what a VHS is, you're too young for this show. But my God, I was also a Mary-Kate and Ashley head. I can't believe we haven't talked about this. The movie, the Christmas movie To Grandma's House We Go, was one of my favorite things. I tore that VHS up.
This video was originally posted on YouTube in September of 2010 as Gimme Pizza Slow, and it's pulled from an even longer slowed down video of this VHS called When Does a Dream Become a Nightmare?
You just keep mentioning phrases that lodge themselves into my brain. When does a dream become a nightmare? That is just an existential question, and the fact that it's attached to a slowed down YouTube video version of a 1995 VHS is just, you couldn't write this in a sitcom.
I just, look, in this moment, on this episode in which we're only talking about uppers, I would prefer that the dream that has become a nightmare is in fact the Olsen twins eating pizza and not a vision of democracy.
Gimme pizza!
P-I-Z-Z-A. Okay, Rachel, it's your turn. What are you putting in the episodic pizza today?
So I've got my first musical installment. The fact that it's the first, there are multiple, really makes me feel like we're in the Upside Down. But there is a video that I found myself returning to over and over again for the past few weeks. And it is Adam Lambert performing Believe by Cher at the 41st Annual Kennedy Center Honors in 2018, where I believe they were honoring Cher.
You believe? It certainly wasn't Adam Lambert. Also, of course, I know this because I know that the honorees do not perform. I know. Mom, I know you're listening to this, and I need you to know that after years of watching this with you and Grandma, I know that the honorees wear the rainbow sashes and they sit in the balcony with Obama. All of them, no matter what year it is, they always sit with Obama.
Okay, so we're going to play a clip of this because it's a whole 3-minute long video, but it's this beautiful, like, slowed down version. I can't describe it.
Do you believe in life after love? mean, it's no Aretha Franklin doing You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman in honor of Carole King circa 2015. Like I said, we were real big Kennedy Center Honors fans in my house, but I'll take it. Okay, Adam.
He did what he needed to do. And importantly, because they're honoring Cher, Cher is in the audience. Cher is moved to tears at this performance. You literally see the camera pan to her and a single beautiful tear falls from her face. And you're like, my God, Cher is a beautiful woman.
Rachel, do you know what's happening there? They're sharing a moment.
You know who else is sharing that moment?
Barack Obama? Michelle Obama?
No, but another infamous couple. There's obviously audience shots, so you'll see like Lin-Manuel Miranda in the background just bopping, but they also pan to none other than Anthony Ramos and Jasmine Safis Jones.
No.
Which in 2022 is just like, yikes.
I mean, the Kennedy Center Honors truly is just always bangers. I'm just going to out myself as a geek here. I love this show every year. I look forward to it, and I always find myself being very surprised at how much I enjoy the honorees I'm not expecting to enjoy. Also, if you really want to weep, happy tears, the year they honored the Sesame Street people, which was also the day that the guy who played Big Bird died. And so all of the kids, oh my God, they all had Big Bird feathers in their boutonnieres.
Sing a song, sing out loud.
Sorry, we said only happy things. Apparently, I'm an emotional terrorist today.
This is happy. Weeping tears of joy. Tears can mean a lot. I did not think that Adam Lambert singing Believe would bring us here.
I'm actually crying a little bit.
Oh my God. Okay, up next, something that will perhaps make some of you cry, but not in the way that Madison is. Our producer, Daniel Schrader, was very quick to flag a song online that just always, always fills us with joy.
Fills him with joy, which is very clear. This is Daniel's pick.
So that's Katy Perry singing Plastic Bag. That is not the name of the song, though I do feel like this is the time for me to admit that I, too, am an emotional terrorist in that I walk around my house asking my roommate, hey, can I ask you a question? And every so often, not every single time, I will respond, do you ever feel like a plastic bag? And every single time, she gets angry at me. But that song was a remix from KDJ Productions on YouTube of Katy Perry's Firework that just kind of, I would say, distills the song down to its very formative essence. Because, like, sometimes I do feel like a plastic bag drifting in the wind. How about you, Madison?
I mean, yeah, pretty much every day since I saw American Beauty for the first time. We are all plastic bags drifting through the wind.
So we're going to take a break and, I guess, go blow around in the wind for a little bit. And when we get back, we have plenty more fun in store for you.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Hi, y'all. If you love our podcast, then please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. You get no ads on any Slate podcast, including this one. And most importantly, you'll be supporting our show. ICYMI would not be possible without the support of Slate Plus subscribers. You also get bonus segments or episodes on shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, and Big Mood, Little Mood. And you'll also get unlimited reading on the Slate website, which means you get access to every single article and advice column on Slate without ever hitting the paywall. Just visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to sign up. That is slate.com/ICYMI+.
All right, we are back with musical theater. Rachel, explain yourself.
I know, you rubbed up on me. Actually, I would like to set the record straight. I know that Madison has the title of leading theater kid on this show, which I'm not taking away from her. But I do enjoy a musical. I would just like to set the record straight. I wore out the 2004 Phantom of the Opera DVD that I got so many times.
Yeah, all the theater people have left the chat.
Wait, is that not a good...
These things don't happen.
Is this not a good production? I love that movie.
No shade to hate to any involved, especially Emmy Rossum, but Masquerade lacking, just deeply lacking.
Wow, you're really crushing me. Okay, well, I just found out that I'm in fact a plebe, but I also recently discovered this woman on TikTok, Michelle Roquette. If I'm mispronouncing your name, apologies. But she does musical versions of 2000 songs, and it's just breathtaking. Chef's kiss.
What would you do if your son was at home, crying alone on the bedroom floor, 'cause he's hungry, and the only way to feed him is to sleep?
So is that supposed to be City High's What Would You Do, but like if it was by Anais Mitchell and the cast of Hadestown?
Exactly. And I know we're also supposed to be bringing one, but I simply can't stop because Michelle is an artist. Like, listen to this cover of Shaggy's It Wasn't Me.
Honey came and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Pictures, we were both butt naked, banging on the bathroom floor. How could
Okay, here's the part where I do need to just get off my chest that somewhere on someone's iPhone 4 is a video of me in college slightly tipsy with my friends doing a musical theater rendition of Roar, which we thought was the height of comedy.
Well, then you will enjoy this final one from Michelle. No.
Not the Dear Evan Hansen of it all. I'm going to cry for completely different reasons.
Like, I will never not hear the phrase, Oskeet Skeet Motherfucker, without thinking of Dear Evan Hansen now. And for that, I thank you, Michelle. All right, well, now that I'm done biting your style, what do you have?
I love that. Our final submission actually comes courtesy of listener at Seven Star Mags, who heard our call just desperately pleading for any bits of internet joy, and wrote, I have a YouTube playlist where I just add videos that make me smile slash laugh. This one is the best, in my opinion.
A luxury you can't live without.
A luxury I can't live without. Coffee. I really like good coffee.
It's not a luxury. You can get it anywhere.
I guess, yeah, I like good coffee.
I love coffee, too.
I like nice socks.
Socks. Your socks, would you put in your shoes?
Yeah, I really love them. I like kind of like, you know, cozy feet.
You're attracted to your socks.
I'm attracted to really nice running socks. Like, I'm always looking for good running socks.
That's not a luxury, though. Coffee and socks are not a luxury.
All right, give me a luxury. What luxury should I have?
Private plane.
Larry, I'm on DuckTales.
Okay, so that's Danny Pudi talking to Larry King in 2020. And Danny Pudi's an actor you probably best know from Community or maybe Mythic Quest. Notably and critical to this video, he is also the guy who voiced Huey in the DuckTales 2017 reboot. If you don't know DuckTales, as Rachel would say, you might be too young for this podcast.
So that clip resurfaced when Larry King died in 2021, RIP, and has since become a meme, obviously, because just the phrase, Larry, I'm on DuckTales, is
we
iconic.
Use iconic too much on this show, but it's not wrong here.
You knew the word that was coming out of my mouth before I even said it.
In an interview with Den of Geek after Larry King died, Danny Pudi said, first of all, rest in peace, Larry. When that first happened, I was so confused because everyone was like, you're trending. And I was like, what did I do? It was this video. Do you know what it makes me think of? Do you know that meme, "You were at my wedding, Denise"?
No.
So this happened back in 2019 when this conservative commentator, whose name is Denise, tweeted something making fun of The View, to which Meghan McCain, who was at that point a co-host of The View, just tweeted, "You were at my wedding, Denise."
Oh my God. That just reminds me of Dakota Johnson and Ellen.
How was the party? I wasn't invited.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Ellen. You were invited.
Just the way Stephanie Mayer gave us Ellen's cancellation, who would have thought?
Wait, she wrote Twilight.
Which was then turned into fan fiction, 50 Shades of Grey, which was then adapted into a movie starring Dakota Johnson, which she became famous and was thus on Ellen.
And a butterfly flapped its wings and caused
9/11. Don't worry, everything comes back to Twilight for me. I will always be able to tie it back to Twilight.
We would like to thank @7starmags for this gem, for reminding us of several other gems which apparently vibrate on the same frequency, and for the laughs, truly. It felt good to disassociate for half an hour.
And honestly, given everything in the world.
Gestures at state of world.
We will probably need to do one of these episodes in the future. So if you would like your random bit of internet joy to be featured, please send it to us. We might just laugh at it. We might feature it. Who knows?
Either way, know that it will bring us joy. And speaking of, obviously, we will tweet all of the videos from today's episode. So if you want to go watch the fun @icymi_pod.
All right, that is the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so please subscribe. It is the best way to never miss an episode, to never miss a bit of musical theater, which will most likely come from Madison and not me next time. Please leave a rating and review on Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. Say nice things about us. You can follow us on Twitter @icymi_pod, which is also where you can DM us your questions, DM us the things that make you smile on the internet. Please DM us those things. And you can also always drop us an email at icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader, Rachel Hampton, and me, Madison Malone Kircher. Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of Audio. See you online.
Or at the Kennedy Center.
I'm still crying. You have to keep going.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is Dahlia Lithwick, host of Slate's legal podcast, Amicus. If you're listening to this show, you might be interested in Amicus's live show that we're hosting in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, May the 14th. My colleague, Mark Joseph Stern, and I will be talking to some amazing guests, including Sherrilyn Ifill and a sitting state Supreme Court justice, all about how originalism, a relatively recently invented way of interpreting the Constitution, has taken over the Supreme Court and radically reshaped the law. It's been doctrinal rocket fuel for the conservative legal movement and facilitated the rolling back of abortion rights, the expansion of gun rights, and the obliteration of the separation of church and state. And as another wildly consequential Supreme Court term careers to its end, the court's originalists are on a tear. But there's something you can do about it, and we hope you'll join us in D.C. on May 14th to explore the possible pathways out of the current situation. Go to slate.com/amicuslive for tickets.